Chapter 5. The Role-Playing Radio Demon. Alistair leaned against the wall to catch his breath, billowy black smoke rolling off him as he finished materializing. He looked at the number marked on the baseboard. 80 feet. That was 5 feet further than last time, but still not nearly as much progress as he had hoped to make. He was currently in the hallway outside of Charlie's bedroom, and had been practicing his teleporting for the last hour. The princess had marked intervals along the baseboard with chalk, and was helping him track his day-to-day improvement. In fact, she had taken it upon herself to develop an entire power restoration plan, as she liked to call it, for him, complete with a chart she drew in sparkly pink ink and adorned with smiley face stickers for every time he reached a new milestone. It annoyed him how insufferably encouraging she could be. It annoyed him even more the little thrill he got every time he earned another sticker. Charlie explained to him how the brain chemically reacts to positive reinforcement, and he realized what a mastermind of manipulation she truly was. He was determined to make it to the end of the hallway today, 120 feet, and he was going to earn that stupid smiley face sticker. It felt foolish to strive for such a pathetic accomplishment. At peak power, he could instantly appear anywhere within a mile radius, so long as he knew where to go. Now, he could barely get to the other side of a room without tuckering himself out. If any of the other overlords saw him like this, hell, if anyone at all saw him like this, his reputation would be ruined beyond repair. Alistair hated feeling useless. He hated feeling weak even more. But Charlie, surprisingly enough, made him feel neither. Admittedly, the only thing keeping him sane during his recovery period was his daily routine with the princess. In the mornings, they'd have breakfast together in her room. Before heading off to do her hotel business, she'd leave him with another book or some paperwork to do. She made time nearly every day to help him with his exercises, even let him chuck pencils at her with his tentacles that one time. And he could always count on her to bring him something slimy and raw for dinner, and something equally delicious gossip about the poor souls staying at their hotel. The radio demon snapped his suspenders determinedly and sauntered to one end of the hallway. Closing his eyes, he felt himself dissolve into shadows. An instant later, he reformed. He looked down at the baseboard. 120 feet!
Ha-ha!
He swung his arm triumphantly. His shadow grew on the wall, a large, gaping grin on its face.
Oh, shoo! I did all the work here!
Riding the high of his success, he snapped his fingers and a moment later reappeared in Charlie's room. He rifled through the top drawer of her desk to find her stickers and peeled off one from the row of sparkly red smiley faces. Those were his favorite. He stuck it on his chart to mark his achievement. Alistair looked out the window at the clock tower. It was almost 1 p.m. Charlie hadn't even started that day's group activity yet. He tapped his chin. She had been constantly pestering him to start attending them. And perhaps he could show her a bit of gratitude for helping him this past week. He slung on his dress coat and disappeared into a drippy black haze.
Welcome, everyone! Sit, sit!
Charlie couldn't contain her excitement as the hotel guests trickled in for their daily lesson. There were so many of them now that she had to conjure up some folding chairs so there were enough spots to sit. She might need to find a bigger space than the study to hold everyone.
Ted? Peppy? How was your first night in the hotel?
Ted the lizard pervert blinked vacantly at her, and Peppy the adulterer just yawned. They sat on either side of Heather the cheerleader killer, who immediately got up and opted for the floor instead.
Here were those roleplay scenarios you wanted.
Angel dropped a bundle of index cards into her hand as he entered the room. He wiggled his eyebrows suggestively.
I made them extra kinky just for you, hon.
Charlie laughed nervously. She hoped she wouldn't regret asking Angel for help putting together today's exercise.
Thanks, Angel.
He shot her a pair of finger guns and flopped down on the love seat next to Husk.
All right, folks, let's get started.
Charlie flipped around the whiteboard, making her own sound effects as she waved her jazz hands. In curly handwriting, it read, Consent versus harassment. Today, we'll be discussing the importance of consent and understanding when our words and actions may actually be considered harassment. Before we hop into the activity, let's define these two terms. Can anyone tell me what consent is?
Ted raised his hand.
Ain't that the shit they use to make sidewalks?
That's concrete, but good guess.
She gave him a thumbs up.
Anyone else?
It's when you, like, get permission or whatever before you park someone.
That's right, Heather. Well, consent is not just for, intimate situations, but good example.
A shadow moved along the wall, catching the princess's eye. Two eyes and a smile appeared before Alistair fully materialized. Charlie's face brightened and she waved to him. He winked at her and leaned back against the wall, eyes surveying the crowd of sinners.
Okay, and what about harassment? Can anyone tell me what that means?
Catcalling, Angel called out. Well, I guess unless you're into that shit.
Stabbing someone!
Nifty was laying on her stomach and started kicking her feet excitedly. Angel patted her on the head.
Nifty, honey, that's just called murder.
Heather raised her hand again. When you use a burner phone to text some dumb bitch and tell her you hope her unibrow-plucking slut ass gets hit by a bus.
Those are all certainly some creative examples,
Charlie encouraged.
Harassment itself is when you do or say something that hurts someone. Sometimes you do this on purpose. Other times you might think you're being nice, but it still makes the other person uncomfortable.
She waved the cards in her hand.
And that leads us into today's activity. We'll be role-playing some scenarios and discussing whether the interaction was consensual or harassment.
She pulled out a pair of cards.
I'll help out with this first one. Who wants to be my partner?
The room was dead silent. Everyone seemed to be avoiding making eye contact with her.
Anyone?
Still no takers.
Come on, guys, this is for your own benefit. I'll pick a volunteer if no one steps up.
It's not volunteering if you force them to do it,
Husk pointed out. Alistair loudly tutted his tongue from the back of the room, causing everyone to turn and look at him.
What a disappointing lot. How can any of you expect redemption if you can't even oblige our dear hostess in this simple request?
He strolled towards Charlie and plucked a card out of her hand.
Come, Charlie. Let's set a good example for these degenerates.
She beamed at him.
Thank you, Alistair. For those who haven't met him yet, this is Alistair, our facilities manager.
Charmed to meet you all,
he said with a bored smile.
Where the hell have you been? Husk grumbled. It was nice around here without you stanking up the place.
Oh, I've been around,
he sang, making a twirling motion with his finger.
So, if I just hang out in my room all day, will Charlie bring me breakfast in bed too?
Angel asked.
Okay,
Charlie interjected, eager to get back on track before folks pried too much into the radio demon's absence.
Let's get started on the first scenario. Alistair, why don't you start?
She watched him as he read over his card. His eyes narrowed and one started twitching. An awkward stretch of silence passed. Ted began picking his nose with his tail.
Any time now,
she muttered under her breath. He disintegrated the card in his hand.
I'm not reading that filth.
Charlie scrubbed a hand down her face, then laughed nervously.
Just one moment, folks, while we readjust.
She grabbed Alistair by the arm and pulled him off to the side.
Were you even paying attention when I explained the activity?
She hissed at him.
They're the ones who are supposed to determine if something is inappropriate or not.
He turned his nose up at her.
These words are deeply disturbing, my dear. I'm certainly not going to say them out loud. Especially not to you, my business partner.
It's an anti-harassment seminar, Al. That's kind of the point,
she retorted, completely deadpan. She really didn't know if he was fucking with her or not.
You're so old-fashioned. Come on, the scenarios aren't even that bad.
Old-fashioned, eh?
He raised an eyebrow challengingly, then summoned the card and handed it back to her. Charlie looked over the first line of dialogue. Hey there, sugar tits. I've got quite the sweet tooth, and I've heard you have a nice little crotch gummy for me to... Oh, she immediately crumpled up the card in her hand, not needing to read any more. This had to be the one that Angel Dust wrote. She peered up at Alistair, who, under his smile, looked genuinely uncomfortable. She thought about him saying those words to her, and it made her face feel hot. She shook her head. Anyone saying those words to her would make her blush.
Yeah, that one's a bit much. Why don't we do one of the consent scenarios?
She flipped through her cards and picked one out of the pairs with a tiny C in the corner.
Fair enough.
He snatched one from her, then cleared his throat as he turned back towards the group.
Oh, my dear sweet partner's name.
He had slapped on his hammiest radio host voice.
I had the most delightful time with you at Name of Fancy Restaurant. May I walk you home? It's getting quite late.
Charlie groaned behind a forced smile. He was trying, at least.
I had a great time too, Al, and sure I'd love if you walked me home.
Make a motion like you're walking,
Alistair declared confidently.
You're not supposed to read those parts out loud,
Charlie whispered from behind her hand.
This is me,
she exclaimed to the group as she jabbed her thumb at an imaginary apartment door.
When can I see you again?
He asked.
Are you busy next date in the future? Maybe we can do non-sexual romantic activity.
Al, seriously, you can ad-lib a bit,
Charlie muttered. She cleared her throat.
That sounds wonderful. It's a date.
Before I say goodnight, may I kiss you?
Yes, you may. I consent to that.
She recited from her card, stressing the word consent. She was so busy scanning the group to see any signs of recognition that she didn't notice Alistair had stepped closer to her and leaned down. Her eyes widened when he pecked on her cheek.
Oh, this is getting kind of hot,
Angel commented from his seat. Charlie completely blanked. She looked down at her card, confirming that she definitely hadn't written that in the script. She snuck a glance at Alistair, who was grinning at her, looking very pleased with himself for throwing her off guard.
Your line is, thanks again for a fun night, he whispered.
Nifty giggled from her spot on the floor.
Why are you so red?
Charlie snapped out of her daze.
And that's the end of this scenario. Thank you, Alistair, for your... help.
She patted him on the back, a little harder than she intended, and sent him back to his spot against the wall. She could feel the blush blooming on her face and was sure everyone could see it too.
Let's all clap for Alistair. It's always hard to be the first to volunteer.
She led the group in a polite round of applause.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. So what do you guys think? Was that an example of harassment or consent?
I got weird vibes, said Peppy. I go with harassment.
Yeah, but he asked if he could kiss her first,
Heather pointed out.
She didn't seem to enjoy it.
I think she did.
It's Alistair,
Angel chimed in.
All he does is harass people.
Husk nodded in agreement.
I vote for harassment.
As the group continued to debate, Charlie touched the spot on her cheek where the radio demon had kissed her. She glanced across the room to see him still tucked in his shadowy corner. He was watching her with an unreadable smile. When their eyes met, he looked away, pretending like he hadn't just been staring at her. Her heart skipped a beat.
Oh, Kiki, sometimes I envy your simple feline mind.
Alistair had ducked out of the group activity early, not wanting to field any questions from his colleagues regarding his recent whereabouts. Nor did he want anyone to catch him riding the elevator like some kind of plebeian. He still didn't have enough strength to teleport up the 5 flights of stairs to Charlie's room. He was entertaining himself by playing a game of whack-a-mole with the hotel cat. He'd pop a shadowy tendril out of the floor and watch as Kiki tried to whack it before it dissipated. When she got frustrated and lost interest, he'd let her catch one and chew on it for a bit.
Kiki's really warmed up to you.
Charlie stood in the doorway and bent over to pet the cat as she rubbed affectionately against her legs.
I'm surprised, considering you scare the unliving daylights out of most folks here.
With a queasy smile, she handed him a drippy paper bag. Alistair rubbed his hands together gleefully and snatched his dinner. He rolled back the top of the bag and popped a few pieces of raw meat into his mouth. The princess looked thoroughly repulsed.
It's a bit concerning how many organ delivery services there are in hell.
She busied herself at her desk and picked up his exercise shirt.
I saw you made some progress with your teleporting. Did you make it all the way down to the study in one go?
Not quite. Furthest I got was the end of the hallway. But slow progress is progress nonetheless, as you say.
And you came down for today's lesson. Only took you an entire month. 7, if we're counting from when you first got here.
Scary what boredom can make a man do.
She clasped her hands together and twiddled her thumbs, looking like she had more to say. Alistair licked the blood from his fingers as he watched her nervously fidget.
Why did you kiss me?
She suddenly blurted out. He blinked twice, then started laughing.
My dear, you were the one who told me to improvise. I thought it was appropriate given the script.
It kinda wasn't. Kinda ruined the entire point of the activity, actually. Everyone thought you were harassing me.
His smile fell slightly.
I didn't realize it was such an unpleasant experience for you. How foolish of me to have offered my assistance in the first place.
No, that's not what I meant.
Charlie sighed in frustration.
I do appreciate your help, Alistair, but not if you're gonna be an ass and not take the work I'm doing seriously.
His nostrils flared in annoyance. Sure, he had just been messing around, but it was a harmless peck on the cheek. Had she really been so abhorred by it? He had half a mind to do it again now, just to piss her off even further.
Well, sweetheart, I did tell you that I thought your silly little morality lessons were a waste of time.
He spat, feedback wavering in his tone.
So consider that my first and last one.
Charlie glared at him, her eyes turning red. He waited for her to storm out of the room, or demand he leave, or lock herself in the bathroom for the rest of the night. Instead, she angrily strode towards him. It took Alistair by such surprise that he stumbled back and bumped against the desk. She leaned into his personal space, stepping between his legs and slamming her hand down on the desk to trap him there. She cracked a smile.
I know what you're doing, Alistair. You're freaking out about your powers. You're freaking out because you needed someone's help. You're freaking out because I think, deep down, you actually like spending time with us all. So you try to cover it all up by acting like an annoying, pompous asshole. Well, guess what? It's not gonna work on me, mister.
She poked his chest to emphasize each word. Her face was so close, he could feel the heat of her breath on his neck.
See you at tomorrow's group activity. 1 o'clock. Sharp.
Alistair swallowed hard, eyes wide in bewilderment. He held up a finger and opened his mouth to retaliate with some witty comeback, but he was at a loss for words. Charlie stepped away and spun on her heels, humming cheerfully to herself. He placed a hand on his chest. Beneath his fingertips, his heart was pounding.
Hmph!
Was all he said.